One of the lines in one of the songs that you just sang says, "How can I keep from shouting your name?" When was the last time you shouted God's name? On the street yesterday? Or at Walmart? Or at work? Say, "Yeah, I just lost my job doing that." No. I want you to think right now of one of your favorite names for God or Jesus. Just stop and think about that, okay? One of your favorite names for God or Jesus. There are hundreds of them. All right, you got that in mind? On the count of three, together, one time, we are going to shout out those names together. Now, you probably haven't chosen the same name for God, so it's going to sound a little different. But you're shouting it to him, okay? Count of three, your favorite name for God or Jesus. One, two, three. Praise God. You can keep doing things like that during the sermon. Just don't cause it to be such that the person next to you can't hear what God wants to say to them, okay? Hallelujah, yeah, okay, brother. Preach it, brother, preach it. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is the conclusion to a passage that the Apostle Paul is addressing. He comes to these last two verses and says, as he has discussed this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you," present tense, "whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray together. Take our lives and let them be set apart for your purposes. And show us even now how to do that and what's involved here and what's at stake. Father, we love you and we thank you for what you've done for us. But thank you also for what you're going to say to us this morning, myself included, so that we have a clear understanding of what these verses mean in the application to our lives and the life of your church, how critically important this is. We give this time to you, and then the application of it in this new week and in the days ahead, in Jesus' name, amen. You see, verse 19 begins with this question: do you not know, or have you forgotten? I don't know if anybody has ever reminded you of something. Didn't you remember? You didn't remember? Are you aware of the purpose of your body? Duh. What kind of a question is that? Of course I'm aware of the purpose of my body. It's my property to be used as I please. To which the Apostle Paul would say, "Is that so? Where did you learn that one? What makes you think that's true?" This verse, this passage says, your body has been declared by the Creator God, the master architect of the entire universe. He has declared that your body is the temple where the very Holy Spirit of God makes his permanent home. Permanent. That temple, your body, is to be a place that exalts God, that honors God, that causes others to hear and learn and think about God, a place that reflects God's nature, A place that features God at every turn. He's the theme. He's the reason for your being. I shared in the first service. I didn't have any notes or anything, but I got to thinking, you know. One time, our family visited the National Baseball Hall of Fame out in New York. That place is fully devoted to the greatest baseball players and the history of the game of baseball. There was nothing else in there in terms of theme or focus. It was all about baseball. So if you don't like baseball, don't go there. Ever been to the Packer Hall of Fame? There's nothing, there's no quilts there. You can't pick up, you can't pick up recipes for good food, probably. I mean, there's just what? It's all football. All these guys who wear these same color uniforms and just run around, knock each other down. And they built a place for the thing, you know? What's that all about? Why don't they have one of those for people who change tires? You know? Or people who mend socks. Here's the Mending Sock Hall of Fame. Oh, we got to go there. Darn, we got to go there. You know, the place is fully, he just got it. The place is fully dedicated to one purpose. But that's what Paul is talking about your life, your body. It is to be a temple. It's critically important that you understand that, that you be reminded that this body, your body, is the permanent address of the Holy Spirit. That's where he dwells. That's where he lives. And it says in verse 19, who is in you? The Holy Spirit is not just an overnight guest. The Holy Spirit is not someone you pick up at the door of the church building when you arrive on Sunday, you know, as if it's a once a week stay in touch with God session. No, the Holy Spirit is in you as a resident. And I'd like to show you some verses. First one out of Matthew chapter 10 that underline this very clearly. This is a major theme in the New Testament. It's not just in 1 Corinthians 6. Matthew 10, verses 18 through 20. Jesus was talking to his disciples, but as you saw on the screen during the offering, many Christians today, many followers of Jesus Christ are being persecuted, brought before kings, brought before authorities, questioned, and threatened that if you do not deny Jesus, we will kill you. What does Jesus say? Verse 18, Matthew 10, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Now, those three words, for my sake, so easy. We get caught up in what's happening to me? What's going on with me? If you belong to Jesus, it's not just about what's happening to you, it's what's happening to him. It's what's going on with the kingdom of God and the purposes of God being worked out even in your deepest trials. So I don't know what's going on, how I landed here. It says here, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Jesus knew there would be a purpose that they would land there and be questioned as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Wouldn't that be something? If sermon time comes and I just get up from where I was sitting back there and somebody hands me what I'm supposed to say. And I just get up here and I share it. How easy is that? Okay, if you're not in front of people, if you don't like to speak in front of people, maybe it's not quite that easy, but to have everything prepared for you, can you imagine if the day comes when you are in a situation where somebody is going to challenge you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you say, what would I say? Jesus says, don't focus on that. When you need to say something, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. Verse 20, for it is not you who speak. So verse 18 says, it's for my sake. And verse 20 says, it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks where? In you. Why? Because that's the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body. He's there. He's doing the work. Well, this is pretty easy in a way. You don't have to study and prepare for an exam ahead of time. All you have to do is be willing to follow wherever the Spirit of God leads. The Spirit of your Heavenly Father who speaks in you. Here's one in Romans 8, verse 11. How much clearer can it get than this? Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now just stop. Did you catch what that says? The very Spirit that is in you, the Holy Spirit of God that is in you, is incredibly powerful. So powerful that it says, that is the same Spirit who raised a dead person who had been crucified. And he lives in you right now. You have power within you that you did not have apart from Jesus Christ. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Not only will he fill you with wisdom as to what to say, he's going to fill you with power to live every day, every situation, everything that comes along in the path of life. Powerful. Giving life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Turn to 1 Corinthians again, this time chapter 3 instead of chapter 6. And you have verse 16, which starts out the same way as verse 19 of chapter 6. Do you not know? Runs a similar track. That you are the temple of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The triune God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The temple of God is holy. It's a sacred place. It's a shrine. It's a sanctuary containing the living God through his Holy Spirit. It is set apart for some very, very special cause. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means set apart. Ever been to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C.? Ever walked in there? There is an atmosphere there that you will not find on the street on an everyday basis. There is something special. Go to Gettysburg, where the Civil War took place, one of the key battles. That is hallowed ground. Soldiers shed their blood on those fields and those hills among those rocks. But it was for the cause of unity and freedom for mankind. Well, who else shed his blood for you and me that we might be freed from the curse of sin and death? And then John 14:3. This one makes it absolutely, unmistakably clear as to what this is all about that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 6. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, he's talking to Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will come to him or her and make what? We will make our home with him or her. You see, that's not temporary, is it? That's not pop in on Sunday morning and, oh, Holy Spirit, I'll take you. Okay, here we go. We'll do church, get out of here. Oh, forgot, Holy Spirit, leave him there. See you next week. No, we will make our home with him. There's a huge difference. I mean, some of you have done foster care. Some of you have adopted. And the idea is, this person who's coming into your home, into your life, it's not just a visit thing. They're coming to stay. They're coming to be part of. And that's the whole idea of the Holy Spirit, making his home with you. This is permanent. And it's wonderful. It's lasting. If you got people who show up at your door and they just want to come in for a visit and then they're there 3 weeks later yet, you might want to ask them, how long are you planning to stay? Oh, I don't know, there's no big hurry. You know, we saw your place and we remembered you and we like you and we just thought we'd hang around. I've got friends in South Dakota. This is way off the sermon. We'll try to get back to the sermon. Friends in South Dakota who talked about friends of theirs who had people who just kept showing up at mealtime. So they fed them. Finally, one day, they got an idea. They had a dog in the house. Don't try this at home. They had a dog in the house, and they decided that the next time those people came, when they got done with the meal, they put the dishes down on the floor, let the dog lick them, and then put them back in the cupboard. Those people never showed up again. So if you've been having an issue like that, try this. How long will the Holy Spirit be staying? What is the intention here? Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is your companion, and your body is his temple, and he wants to work in you and accomplish some incredible, earth-shaking, changing things in your life and in this world through you. He did it through the apostles in the book of Acts. They turned the world upside down. Only it wasn't them, was it? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Word of God. It was the name of Jesus. But they got to be a part of that. You go back to verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6. And it concludes by saying, the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, here it is. Woo. And you are not your own. What does that mean? You are not your own. Your body does not belong to you. Let me repeat that. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a Christian. Paul is saying, your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to God. Never mind what the culture says. You've got all those messages out there. This is what God says to you through Paul. Your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to God. This is the reality for anyone who follows Jesus, who declares, I'm a Christian. And it's possible. Someone here this morning has assumed that Christianity consists merely of making sure I have a ticket to heaven, and once that is taken care of, as the ad declares, you are now free to move about the country. Well, this is simple, yeah? Try to be good, try to make good choices, but enjoy doing whatever you prefer. After all, we live under grace, not the law, so all things are lawful. That is not what this phrase says. This phrase says, you are not your own. You are not your own. Decisions you make, directions you go, choices you make, none of that is your call anymore. If you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and he is your Savior from sin and the Lord, the owner of your life, the master over your life, then he, by his Holy Spirit, who lives in you, he, by his Holy Spirit, who lives in you, decides what happens with your body. You do not decide because your body is no longer yours. There's a verse in Galatians, I think you know it, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you turn around and give your body back to God, your mind, your whole being, and you say, you take this and do whatever you think is best with this. And if you've got that kind of wisdom, that kind of power by your Holy Spirit, and this is his temple, there could be some extraordinary things that are going to take place as a result. Your body is no longer yours. You were, verse 20, you were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. Think about that. Anybody notice that the Wisconsin Rapids Mall is no longer open for business? Do you know what happened? It was bought. And so Boys and Girls Club and YMCA is the focus. Under the new ownership of that building, everything will be geared toward YMCA activities, Boys and Girls Club activities. And if you are intending, I'm going to find a way to still go shopping at the mall, dream on forever, because it's under new ownership. It was bought, and it's no longer a mall. There is a blacktop slab just south of the Pizza Hut on 8th Street here in Wisconsin Rapids. For years, it's been just a blacktop slab there. And one day, I don't know when, somebody came along and said, I want to purchase that blacktop slab. And once they purchased it, it was no longer going to be used for parking cars on that blacktop slab. You know what it's going to be used for? Donuts! Dunkin' Donuts! Praise the Lord! Dunkin' Donuts is going to be on 8th Street, yeah? You know why? Because it's under new ownership. I could have gone past that place 100 times, and you could have too, and thought, I wish I could find it. What are you looking for? I'm looking for a donut on this parking lot, you know? Hang on, I'm going to call somebody, you know? Something's wrong there. No, it... Once that slab of blacktop was purchased, you see what they're building? There's a building going up. There's going to be donuts in there. Now, there's a wise use of purchase, right? I mean, they bought that for a good, wise use. Well, we'll find out. I ate Dunkin' Donuts when I was in college, and I've never forgotten them. Okay, you were bought. You are owned by God. The ownership title is not in your possession to use as you would prefer. Your body is no longer your own. You say, what a bummer. No, it's a temple now. It's not just a slab of blacktop somewhere. It's not just a previous use building that's going to be renovated. God has got plans and purposes in mind because you belong to him. But the ownership title of your body, I repeat, is not in your possession to use as you would prefer. I had an interesting thing happen. We were in South Dakota for 21 and a half years, lived out in the country, country church, just a quarter mile up the road where we served. We lived in the parsonage, and then next door was the old property of the previous parsonage that was originally built for the church. Church sold that to a family years before we were there, and then they would move out, others would move in and out. Place got a little run down, but people were still buying it. Finally, a couple came there while we were there, and then things did not go well in their marriage, and he ended up moving to Pennsylvania, and she ended up moving about 100 miles north in South Dakota. And then one day, noticed, Stephanie's back. She's living in the house again for a while. And the church was interested at that point in purchasing that property because they had some ideas, possibly even a youth center or something that they could put up there. But as things went along, one day I noticed over at that house, I don't know if Stephanie was there or not, but I noticed a lady probably in her 30s or 40s, and she was wearing high heels. This is 15 miles out in the country. It's not the usual style that people wear. Oh, 15 miles out in the country, nothing personal either way, okay? And a bright red dress, and she was walking around with something in her arm, clipboard or something. Well, that's really different, you know? New tenant, they want to buy? I don't know. Well, about a week later, a lot of times we'd go exercise, walk on the road down to the stop sign back, and Stephanie happened to pull up next to us on the road, and she said, "By the way, I had someone come and evaluate the property and the house." And she said, "If the church is interested in buying it, I'm willing to sell it to you for $25,000. And we knew her somewhat, but I said, "Thank you." And she drove away. I got suspicious. Me? Yeah. Well, okay. Do you ever get suspicious? Okay, we decided to drive 15 miles down to Vermilion, to the courthouse, Clay County Courthouse, and talked to the Register of Deeds there and said, "There is a property right next to where we live. We just wondered who the owner of that is." Guess what? She didn't even own it. Her husband was the sole owner of that property, and she decided that maybe she could sell that property to the church and collect the money and be on her way. Nothing personal, but I thought, whoa, now think about that in your own life. Do you try to do things that you have no authority doing because this body is now under new ownership? It's not your call. You can't sell yourself in certain directions in this world because you don't own it. God has the title to your property. And do we sometimes somehow think, it's mine, it's mine? Let's look at Ephesians for a moment. Chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's just walk through this. All the way to verse 32. What? That's 16 verses. I could have had us turn to Psalm 119. That's 176 verses. Which would you prefer? We'll go with this one. All right. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, but on the authority of Jesus Christ, because remember, the Holy Spirit had Paul's body as his temple too. Here's what he says. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Do you know that if you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in your body, in your mind, guess who takes over? Jesus is the light of the world. If Jesus is not in your life, guess what takes over? Darkness. Do you know how to find your way around in the dark, in unfamiliar circumstances? That's not easy and it's dangerous. In fact, didn't I hear about a vehicle chase down somewhere? I don't know if it was in the state here or somewhere else. No, it was out in South Dakota. And the police were chasing a car, and all of a sudden the car turned off its lights. This was at night. And they cut across the median and hit somebody else head on. So the other people coming never even saw them coming because they didn't have their lights on. How smart is that? And I'm not going to get into the details, not looking down on somebody, just saying, danger, danger, danger. Don't walk the way the world walks in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. A lot of people say, God didn't come through for me at a certain time, I'm done with him. I don't even think there's a God. You only hurt yourself. You only cut yourself off from the life that God could give you. Verse 19, and then here's what happens. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness. That's basically throwing aside all moral values and saying, I'll do whatever I feel like doing with my body. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. You weren't taught that way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows what? If Jesus Christ is not working in your life, if the Holy Spirit is not in control of your life and your body is not the temple of the Holy Spirit because you don't want him messing around with your plans and your purposes and your values and priorities, guess what? Here's what happens to you. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. There is no way out of this. It's like the law of gravity. This is a spiritual law. If you do not have God controlling your life, the Holy Spirit controlling your life, Christ in your life is going to grow corrupt. I'm not saying that. God's saying that. It's a tragedy. It doesn't have to happen. Verse 23, this is the direction God wants you to go. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, okay, here's the call. If you're going to follow Jesus, this might be necessary action on your part. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do you have a habit of sliding by the truth when you talk with other people? That is one of the most devastating relationship issues. It breaks trust with another person. If that's an issue in your life, you need to take that before God. Say, okay, your body, your mind, your mouth has been dedicated to lying. How does that line up with the Holy Spirit being dwelling in there? I mean, that'd be like going to the Packer Hall of Fame and finding a whole bunch of Viking stuff there. God forbid? Well, Packer fans forbid anyway. Oh, no, he didn't say that, did he? Oh, relax. It's just what the color of the uniform is the only difference. They're all human beings so far. Anyway, I don't know. But if lying is an issue for you, address that. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What upsets you and why? You know, if the Holy Spirit's in you, he can work with those anger issues. It may be something from your past. Somebody did a rotten thing to you. You can't seem to work through that. You've got to allow God to do the work on that. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? He had rotten things done to him. Father, forgive them. That's what she said on the screen. Can you imagine going through what some of those people went through on the screen? That whole family? And she said, I forgave them. And she was released from any hate, any anger, because God enabled her to do that. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. I don't know if we have any thieves in here. Not up here so far. Now you know where my billfold is, right? Okay, all right. Let him who steals steal no longer. You know, it's interesting. God can give you anything. He owns everything. So why do people try to go out? I found out. I'm not sure about this, but I found out at Little Caesars. I was announcing a baseball game across the road at Witter Field that Sunday. And at Little Caesars, somebody held up the place. And somebody said they got $45. Well, that was worth it. $45? It doesn't matter if it's 45 or 45 million. You can't get enough in this world. God can replace anything, everything in any way. He can make you rich in ways you never dreamed. And I'm not saying that God is in it to make you rich materially or financially, though he may allow that. The key is, why do you need to go and take and take and try to take from other people? It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to what? To give him who has need. That's what happens when God gets a hold of a thief. He changes that person from a grabby, take, take, take person to a person who's generous, just wants to give, give, give. What a wonderful change through the power of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know of certain people in your life that you love to hear talk, and the reason is they build you up. They speak warm, encouraging words. Sometimes they speak hard words, words of truth. But you know that when you go to hear them talk, they're going to give you something uplifting. And there may be other people in your life, when you know they're coming, you try to hide because you don't want to hear the downers and the bad news and the sometimes the language or whatever else. You just want to run and hide from them. So what's coming out of your mouth? And are people drawn to hear you? Or you say, I wonder why nobody's around. Huh, what's going on? I just want to talk to somebody. Well, maybe it's the talk that's coming out of your mouth that's driving them away. God can fix that. He can touch you. He can touch your lips and give you beautiful words to speak and encouraging words to those around you. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. I want to close with this. It's out of 2 Chronicles 29 in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, wow, it's a different place to go. It ties in exactly what Ephesians 4 is talking about here. The cleanup job that may be coming in your life as a result of what God is saying to you this morning or saying to me. Here's what you need to do. 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. 29 years he got to be king, it says here. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Here's a good example to follow. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, this is the first thing he did once he became king. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Another name for that, temple. Remember 1 Corinthians 6, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. And you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. He repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. The rubbish? What is rubbish doing in a holy place? Question. You are a holy place for God. You got rubbish? Why do you have rubbish in a holy place? Do like Hezekiah. That needs to come out of there. There's no place for that if this is the temple of God. Which gave me a question in my head then as I was looking at this and preparing. What if the city of Wisconsin Rapids decided to take all the trash and recyclables that they collect, and instead of hauling it to the usual place, they instead would deliver it to the United States Postal Service building on Grand? It would give a whole new meaning to the word junk mail, right? You say, well, that's no place for that stuff. That doesn't belong in a post office. Okay, excuse me, back up. What if the city of Wisconsin Rapids decide to take all the trash and recyclables they collect, and instead of hauling it to the usual place, they instead deliver it to City Hall? H-A-U-L would be, you could change the word on the building. It's City Hall, City H-A-U-L. Oh, one more question. What if the city of Wisconsin Rapids decided to take all the trash and recyclables they collect, and instead of hauling them to the usual place, by the way, I don't know where that place is, instead of hauling it to the usual place, they instead deliver it to where you live. And they open the doors and they back the trucks up and they dump it in your house. Is that okay? Hey, our place looks like that pretty much anyway, so a little more of that isn't going to be a big deal, right? Would you object? Hey, I don't want that in my living room. The smell. Have you ever been out for a walk and one of those trucks goes by? Don't take it, I mean, don't blame the people who are driving the trucks. You're the ones who gave them their jobs to pick that stuff up and get it away from your place. So why would anyone want somebody dumping something back in their house when they got rid of it in the first place? That's called garage sales, right? I don't know. I don't want my living room full of that. Neither does God want his temple full of spiritual rubbish. And that's your job, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if God speaks to you and says, you've got a mess here, and this isn't like a parent talking to a child now, this is your God who owns you now and saying he's the owner. Is there something here that I think maybe needs some cleaning up? We got to get rid of that. We got to put that out. Got to haul that away. There's no place for it. That can involve how you use your eyes, how you use your ears. Remember that song way back when? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a father up above and he's looking down above, from above. That's a pretty powerful little song. Your eyesight, what you're listening to, what you seek out to listen to, the way your hands, the direction your hands go, and your feet, your thought life, how you use your tongue. No, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit now. And so, since it's under new ownership, let's honor the owner and allow him to make a magnificent temple out of your life and your body for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, prepare us to be sanctuaries for your Holy Spirit, for everything that honors you. We're weak, but you're strong, and you can do things if we'll just allow you to do what is rightfully yours as the owner. So we won't just be singing from our lips, glory to God forever, but our lives will be exuding this glory and this joy because of who has taken over and made us into new creations and given us new ways to live. Guide us in this day and in this new week, and the rest of our days, that we might truly be the kind of temple you intended, clean and pure and powerful for your purposes, in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.